Rolene, a very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning and a happy Women's Day, and especially to two of my favorite balls of dynamite, just fabulous ladies, Zanati and Ndiwe. Just happy Women's Day, girls, and long may you continue to rock. And to all the men who have our backs and stand alongside us. So I'm pretty perky today, Howard.
Oh, thanks, Roro.
So, Rolene Marks, thanks for agreeing to move the slot a little bit later this morning. It is a public holiday here in South Africa, so the show is slightly different. Starting off with some really, really terrible and difficult news. What is the latest in the investigation around the murder and the terrorist attack that killed a young boy of 19 years old? Bring us up to speed on that.
Well, at the moment, there is still a manhunt underway to try and find the perpetrators of the horrendous terror attack that took place yesterday just outside Gush Etzion. And initially, it was thought that this could have been a kidnapping or a botched kidnapping. Instead, it seems to be a case of premeditated murder. So just to remind listeners, yesterday, in the early hours of yesterday morning, the body of Devir Sorek, 19 years old from Ofra. He was a yeshiva student. He was found dead with multiple stab wounds. He was not a soldier, as some news are reporting. He was actually registered for the army, but was still at yeshiva. He was unarmed. He was in civilian clothing. He was studying as part of a chester, a pre-military program in a religious seminary in Migdal Oz. He was found clutching, and this seems to have really hit at the heart of everybody. Books written by David Grossman, and if you know anything about Israeli literature, you'll know that David Grossman is a great peacenik. He too lost his son during the Second Lebanon War. He actually reached out to the Sorek family yesterday, devastated for them, and saying, you know, it's so unfair that we only get to learn about the gentle heart of somebody like Devir, you know, when his life is taken from him. But what we do know is that he returned to the area of the yeshiva a little after 8 p.m. on Wednesday, and he began to walk from the bus stop near the Gush Etzion junction towards Migdal Oz to his yeshiva, and he was stabbed to death after his the perpetrator allegedly got out of a car and just attacked him, and he was found at about 3 a.m. yesterday morning. Last night, he was buried in Ofra with thousands of people there, and his father saying that he chooses to celebrate his life. He will not linger in sorrow. He will rather celebrate his life. He will rather be emblematic of all that his son stood for.
Terrible, terrible indeed. There seems to be some fear that that this could happen again sometime soon, that the cell is active. What is the latest in the investigation?
Well, the investigation at the moment is under a very, very tight gag order, so we're not getting too many details. What we do know is that yesterday the RDF and the security forces, which include, you know, the police and the Shin Bet or Shabak, they increased the amount of manpower that's being used to hunt down these perpetrators, so that you know, if there is a cell operating, we can shut that down immediately. And, you know, there's a whole lot of speculation, especially as we approach the September the 17th elections. Is the reasoning behind this? Is it because of Netanyahu's announcement of settlements the other day, just, you know, reminding that he also made probably one of the most rare statements you'll ever hear Netanyahu say, which is increasing the amount of buildings to be built for Palestinians in Area C. So is it that? Is it election? Are we going to hear a lot of electioneering from our politicians? And they've all jumped on the bandwagon with this. And is this a motive by terror groups like Hamas and Islamic Jihad, who applauded the terror attack, is this a ploy for them to distract from or interfere with the upcoming elections?
Yeah, fascinating and unfortunately very, very tragic. The other story that I wanted to talk to you about was actually an incredibly positive one, and that is an Israeli prison officer that saves the life of a Jordanian child.
Well, isn't this just too wonderful a story? So basically the story is an Israeli prison officer and father of three. He's from the town of Machar in the north. He has donated part of his liver to an eight-year-old Jordanian boy who he learned about on social media. So you see, Howard, there are some positive things about social media. It's not just about, you know, people losing their mind over ukuleles. So the prison officer, his name is Kalai Hussam Tarif. When he heard about the little boy's name is Morsel Abalus. He went under blood and other tests to determine if he would be a good match. And he said, you know, the little boy reminded him of his own children. And after they established the compatibility, he has then been given the green light to go ahead and remove about a small portion of the liver lobe. And, you know, the liver regenerates itself and give this to the child who is in need of that. So it's quite incredible. Extraordinary. The families have met. And they both, incidentally, are from a Druze background. So it's quite a coincidence that. And the donor said that he said, I didn't know the kid was Druze, and I would have done it regardless of his ethnic background. And, it's, you know, it just goes to show that we know what we're dealing with in the Middle East as far as Hamas and Islamic Jihad and other terror groups are like. But there are so many little pockets of hope and so many small victories that we can celebrate. This is a perfect case in point. I see Road to Recovery is also making or getting a lot of coverage in the news. It's also an extraordinary organization made up of ex-IDF generals who bring kids from Gaza into Israel who need medical care. We have the incredible Women Wage Peace in South Africa at the moment. And even though somebody lost their minds over the prospect of Arab kids and Jewish kids playing ukuleles, I don't know how it may be. Ukuleles are offensive to people.
We actually have to just spend a minute talking about this because it's absolutely bizarre. For anybody who doesn't know the story, will you just fill us in on that?
Okay, so I posted a story that I'd written. I went a couple of weeks ago to Tira, which is an Arab village near the center, the most amazing burekas, Howard. I mean, you can't believe. To watch a rehearsal of a little group called Ukuleles for Peace, which is comprised of these 12 kids and their little ukuleles, and founded by a British guy by the name of Paul Moore, who started this group because he said he was so sick and tired after the second intifada of all the hatred. So I posted it online. And I don't know what triggered this person, but he absolutely lost his mind with me. He said, ukuleles are not the way to peace, and you live in La La Land, and you're so naive. Don't you know we have Iran to deal with, and Hamas to deal with, and incitement to deal with, and anti-Semitism to deal with? And when I tried to speak to him and say, you know, we know what we're dealing with, but there are so many of these little projects that are small victories for us. And, you know, we who live here, incidentally doesn't live in Israel, we endure so much. So when something like this happens, we see the reason to celebrate it. And then other people joined in. They said, you know, music's a great unifier, which of course it is. And, you know, it's so lovely to see. And he just kept on going crazy and just, you know, verbally abusing people, telling them, you know, they're naive, and you have to leave the defense of Israel to the people who do the real work. So that made me think, you know, first of all, what is triggering this kind of reaction? Because this shouldn't trigger a negative reaction. And also, when it comes to advocating for Israel, you know, we have to ply the same oath perhaps that doctors do. First, do no harm. First, think about what you're saying and who you're talking to, because your reactions and the way that you talk to people sometimes impacts directly on those of us who, you know, who live here or in the diaspora, who are subject to anti-Semitism and aggression and blame politics and accusations is not the way to go. We're living in a time where anti-Semitism is rising to nuclear levels. I'm going to use that terminology. I know that it's very strong. Yeah. And being so aggressive does not foster understanding.
Rolene, I couldn't agree with you more, and I just hope people pay attention to that. And next time somebody wants to say stupid things on social media, just think about it. Just think about the damage that you're doing. And I love that, actually, just do no harm, because I don't think we realize it half the time. Rolene Marks, unfortunately, this is where we love and leave you. Hope you have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, a meaningful Tisha B'Av, and we'll catch you next week, same time, same place. Well, no, actually, a little bit earlier in our normal time slot.
Shabbat Shalom, guys, and thanks after a very tumultuous week for just putting a big smile on my face.
Awesome.